I want you to open your Bibles tonight to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter number 1. We're going to read verse number 12 and verse number 13 tonight and use these verses as a launching pad, if you will, into the three thoughts that God had me write down this afternoon. And I wanted to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Of course, every time that we get behind the pulpit and preach only that which God has ordained for this hour and this time. And over the past few days, the Lord has been working in my heart with an outline of something that we find throughout the Word of God. Something that I hope will be an encouragement to you tonight. And 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 12 and verse number 13. Once you find your place, if you join with me in standing, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross tonight. And here we go, reading the Word of God and looking at these wonderful truths from Scripture. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 12 and verse number 13, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." What's this verse telling us? Well, these are things that you already are familiar with. But you know, repetition is the key to learning, isn't it? And every once in a while, if we're not careful, we will forget the things which we've learned. We will get distracted. We will lose, here it is, our perspective. The Bible says in verse number 13, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I'm alive in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. I want you to see this verse as well, after which we'll pray, and then we'll get right into the preaching of the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, looking at verse number 9. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 4, verse number 9, "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life." Of course, we find an admonition here for parents and for grandparents, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Heavenly Father, I pray that you be with us tonight. We ask that you'd anoint the preaching and the teaching of your word. We ask, Holy Spirit of God, for a special portion of your power, that you would help our minds and our hearts to be still and help us, Lord, to become small so that we can listen for your still, small voice tonight. I pray that we'll put away any distractions and anything that would cause our minds to drift. And Lord, I pray this evening that our hearts would be stirred, that you would encourage us, and God, that you would fire us up. I pray tonight, God, for revival. God, not something spooky, but God, just something wonderful that we ought to experience on a daily basis, that you would revive us again, O God, in the midst of these years. Lord, that you would refresh in us, that you would renew us, that you would reignite within us a sacred fire, a passion and enthusiasm, Lord, to stay faithful and to keep on keeping on. Lord, thank you for your word. The fact that we can always claim your word because you will always keep your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Let's just jump right into it tonight. I want you to open your Bibles and keep them open. We're going to be using them here tonight. I want you to go over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 55. Isaiah chapter number 55. I believe there's a handful of things here tonight, and specifically three truths that God has really burdened my heart with to bring this evening to New Heights Baptist Church, to stir you up, if I may, and the Holy Spirit of God by way of remembrance. Some things that you are established in, some things that you know for sure, and some things that I'm sure that you are very acquainted with. But if we're not careful, things will become mundane. If we're not careful, we'll lose perspective. If we're not careful, we'll get distracted and we'll not keep them diligently and close to ourselves as we ought to. Notice what the Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse number 10 and verse number 11. Isaiah 55, verse number 10 and verse number 11. Tucked away here in one of these Old Testament books, we find that God teaches us in Isaiah 55, verse number 10 and verse number 11, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow fall from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, so it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me," what's the next word? "Void. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall," what? "Accomplish." Say it out loud. Say it with conviction. "It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall," what? "Prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Just one of the thoughts that God had me write down here tonight was this: don't ever forget and always remember that His word will not return void. But rather, as we're faithful witnesses, as we're salt and light, as we're engaged in this dying world, and we're seeking to always evangelize and always seeking to present the gospel and hand out gospel tracts and lift up our voice and share with our loved ones and our friends and our coworkers and our neighbors and those that God puts across our path and in organized church soul winning and really in any aspect of our life as we're at the grocery store or maybe at the gas station or maybe in the mall or at some place of business as we're running errands, maybe in the post office or this place or that. That we must understand that every single time we pass out a gospel tract, every single time we share with someone a scriptural truth, that His word will not return void. Now, there's two different ways to know this, here and here. And I'll be honest with you tonight, if we're not careful as Christians, we will know it, and we're established in the present truth. But do we really know that as we make eye contact with that person we've never met before, maybe it's at the post office, and as the Holy Spirit of God has burdened us and pricked us and said, give him a track, give her a track. And we reach into our billfold, we reach into our pocket, we reach into our purse, and we pass out that track that moment as it's being transferred. His word, amen, going from our hand, if I can give this to you, going into his word will not return void. But rather we have his promise that it will accomplish. We have his promise that it will prosper. It's going to bring growth. God is going to use it some way, somehow, to draw people unto himself, that it is going to accomplish something for eternity. And we may never know, and we may never see, and we may never comprehend the extent of how God could use us in just the simple means of by passing out a tract. Maybe we leave it in a door as we're out soul winning. We had a lot of that yesterday, didn't we? Out knocking, you know, and things, people not home and whatnot. But instead of getting discouraged, oh man, nobody was home, didn't talk to anybody. Hey, we left a gospel track. And I have 100% guarantee from God that there is going to be 100% return. That God is going to use that track some way, somehow, for His glory and the furtherance of His heavenly kingdom and for the advancement of the church. We must be stirred up by way of remembrance. We know that, and maybe many of us here tonight, if we've been saved for a number of years, we've heard preaching on that. Maybe we even have that concept, that thought, that verse memorized. But oh, tonight, that we would get fired up, and man, we would be refreshed and renewed and reignited to understand if I've got 10 tracks and I pass out 10 tracks, God is going to use 10 tracks some way, somehow, to accomplish, to prosper in the thing whereto it's sent. I have no idea what God's purpose is, but I know that God has a purpose. And I know it's always for His good and glory. And I know tonight that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. That salvation is not just for those who come within a church and who may have a Bible in their language, but no, it's for every single person, every single tribe, every single tongue, every single nation. God wants everybody to be saved. As you go out in the world tonight, maybe if you go to the grocery store and go to Walmart and grab some vanilla bean, blue bunny ice cream or something like that. For those of you who have diabetes and you need to possibly not get your numbers of sugar kicked up, get the yogurt, all right, because it won't stimulate those numbers. But anyway, moving on tonight, if you go to the store and you grab something like that and you've got a gospel tract and you hand it to somebody, understand that God is going to use it some way, somehow. And as you look at these people and scores of people that you'll see in the supermarket, as you'll see driving down the road, that person that's in front of you, the people at the stoplight, Jesus Christ died for every single human being. He wants every single person to be in an independent, fundamental, Bible-preaching church. Amen? He wants every single marriage to be successful and happy. He wants every single child to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's not an elect few. There's not an elite. There's not, you know, a certain of these, and then the rest of them, they're going to die and go to hell. No, He wants everybody to be saved. Oh, that we would have the mind of Christ. Didn't Jesus say, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest? He's saying, stop being self-centered. And so many times in life, I'm guilty of this, preaching to myself tonight, we get so filled with busyness when we forget about our purpose to be about the Father's business. Do you realize tonight, let's ask this question, let's just be laid back a little bit. How many of you have a secular job? We're going to shift gears a little bit. How many of you have secular employment? Raise your hand. All right, raise them high. Brother Caleb, what do you do for a living? You work for a credit union. All right, is it like a desk job with phone calls, or is it out and about? Or is it like in it behind a teller desk? Okay, very good. And then what do you do, my brother? A black belt. I was thinking like he was doing jujitsu or something crazy. But anyway, okay, so he's got that job. Now, what do you do? What do you folks do? All right, anybody here? Who else we got? Who else? What hands did I see up? Yes, sir. Handyman. All right, jack of all trades. Praise God for that. Amen. Who else? Over here on this side. All right, yes, sir. Mailman. Excellent. Amen. All right, someone else. Is there any ladies? Yes, ma'am. An accountant. All right, someone else. Is there another lady? Yes, ma'am. Okay, so what do we have here? We have multiple jobs, right? We have people that are spread abroad this community. If I may, bear with me now and just think about this. It's almost as if we're kind of like a special forces team. That God is seeking to strategically implement and place in various regions throughout our culture to be an influence. Doesn't the Bible acknowledge and doesn't the Bible teach us that we are to be in this world but not of this world? You know, in the English language, you know, I love to be able to do a play on words. And as you think about it, the word in, it can be used as a prefix, right? Before we jump into that, I wanted to remind you what the Bible said in Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 21, where it says that we are to be in the midst. In the midst, not off to the sideline being a spectator, but rather a participator in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. And the Bible says, and oh, it's so epic and how it's worded, holding forth the word of life. We have the answer. Hey, Ben, we've got the message of hope. We have the truth. Man, we've got the message of peace and of satisfaction. And hey, people, I can have everything they need right here with what we've got. We've got what's life-changing. We've got Jesus, amen? And this whole world, when they see us and interact with us, may they notice something peculiar. May they notice something different. May they notice something wonderful. And they realize, man, that guy, that girl, that young person, they've got something that I don't have. And you know what it is? So in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, all these things will tie together, tether together tonight. Just bear with me and think about this. Using this word in as a prefix. I jotted some words down here tonight on a scrap piece of paper. In the world, we need to be integrated. Do you realize that the people Brother Caleb interacts with, Mrs. Reed probably will never meet in her life? What are the chances, right? 95% of the people he interacts with and works with, she'll probably never meet and vice versa. And the same could go for this dear brother and for this lady. And for the mailman, and for so many other people that we have in here, understand tonight that our vocation, our job, it is not simply the end of things, but rather, looking at this through the light of eternity, it is a means to an end, to fulfill and to carry out an eternal calling. To realize that from the pulpit of the pew, God wants all of us to be soul winners. Amen? God wants all of us to be light. God wants all of us to be salt, man, presenting Christ in a pleasant flavor. And oh, tonight that we would do our part in understanding that. And so many times, if I may say this first, so many times Christians think, well, you know, God has not called me to be a pastor, so I guess I'm just not as important. Where do you find that in the Bible? That's a lie straight from the lips of Satan himself. And he's trying to sit on our shoulder and he's trying to get us to feel inferior when rather we need to be in this world. We need to be integrated. We need to be involved. We need to be interceding. We need to be influencing. We need to be informing. We need to be inspiring. We need to be entreating or begging them and pleading with them as God gives opportunity for us to be a witness. We are to be inviting. Hey, we need to be in this world, but not of this world. The people that Brother Caleb works with, I'll never meet in my life. The people that you interact with, I'll never meet. But God has placed you. God has placed you in their lives. Teamwork makes the dream work. Amen. And understand this. As we think about this concept of His Word will not return void. As we live for God, and as we present truth, as we pass out gospel tracts, as we seek to promote Jesus Christ and the Word of God and salvation, understand that even though we may not necessarily see an immediate result, something is happening within their heart. We've got God's promise. It's not, well, you know, 4 out of 10 times. It's going to be hit and miss. Well, 1 out of 3 times. Hey, just stay faithful. You don't know when it's going to take place, when I'm going to prosper, when I'm going to accomplish things. No. I mean, you can read it with your God-given eyeball, the black and white text of the Word of God, and you can see it, amen, and you can claim it. And man, it should fire you up and stir you up as we think about this and as we remember this, that God's Word will not return void, but He will use it to accomplish. He will use it to prosper. I mean, you may think I'm crazy. You probably already do. But every single time I pass out a track across this country, whether it's at a toll booth, I fold it up and put it in the credit card reader at the gas station, I give it to someone in a restaurant, I mean, wherever, I'm looking for opportunities. Why? Because it gets me goosebumps. Well, as I make eye contact with that person, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is going to use it some way, somehow. Do we know it here? Do we know it here? I believe if we know it here, you're going to have to reorder tracks a lot sooner. Let me tell you a couple stories real quick. Of course, we have that book on the back table, booklet on the back table, and these stories are not in the book. I'm thinking right now of a church deacon in Wisconsin. All four of his children are saved. His grandchildren that are old enough to have come to the saving knowledge of Christ, they are saved. All of his children are living for Jesus, raising their families right. Second generation Christians, now it's going into the third generation. It's awesome to see. This man, on a Saturday, decades ago, went over to his friend's house on a Saturday to go help him with some outdoor construction work, you know, in the backyard or something, and it began to rain outside. Of course, they had to stop working, so you know, this guy went into the house and grabbed a beer out of the fridge and go sat on the front steps of the porch and just enjoying, if I may say, and the way he worded it, there sitting and drinking his beer, just watching the rain come down, enjoying the coolness of that moment. He noticed as he was sitting there that there was a piece of paper. I'll just use this member's transfer thing right here, all right? I don't know where I put the tracks, probably up there somewhere. But he found this piece of paper laying open, face down in a puddle on the sidewalk in the guy's front yard. Of course, this is before cell phones, you know. People are always addicted to that device, always distracted, you know, unobservant, running into things. Have you ever watched YouTube videos? Walking into a, you know, stuff, and it's pretty hilarious, but it's sad. But anyway, he had nothing else better to do, so he went out there and he grabbed the piece of paper real quick, you know, ran back quick to the porch, you know, sat down. And it was a wet, soaking wet, soppy, floppy gospel track. There with a beer in one hand and the track in the other resting upon his knee, he began to read what the Word of God had to say about Jesus. And as a result of reading that track, he trusted in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior upon the front steps of that guy's porch. Right there on the back, there was a simple prayer, and with all of his heart, he cried out and trusted in Christ. Now let me ask you a couple questions. How did that track get there? Was there someone out soul winning who was saying, Lord, I'm going to bear precious seed. And just as the sower will go forth and cast seed there into the field, I will cast this track out. And wherever it lands, oh God, please bless it. That's foolish, isn't it? Nobody in their right mind would do that, right? Now, if it was me and my son going out, you know, he might be like using it as a paper airplane, you know, and stuff. And it got out of his hand and fell down into the sidewalk. I don't know, maybe it was stuck into a door. And the wind providentially caught it. Maybe a kid had it in his back pocket and he was riding his bike, and as he, of course, he found it in a puddle in a sidewalk, so that means the sidewalk was bumpy. Maybe the thing fell out of the kid's pocket as he was riding down the street. I don't know, but all I know is this, the track got there. The soul winner, you, I, who originally gave out that track or put that track somewhere, had no idea, and to this day has no idea, that God used him in that moment to lead someone to the Lord, and then change an entire family. Directly, his children getting saved, his grandchildren being saved, extended family getting saved. Hey, his word will not return void. Put that track in that door, amen? Pass out that gospel track. Has the Lord lead you walking with Christ, man being sensitive to the prodding and the pricking and the pulling and the pushing of the Holy Spirit of God, man always being prepared. Man, have tracks on you. Have them in your wallet. Have them in your billfold. Have them in your pocket. Ladies, of course, you've got that mega wallet. You've got that purse, that bottomless pit. I mean that wonderful sack you carry about. Man, cram those things in there. Pass them out. Give them out. Give them out. Give them out. Why? Hey, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and oh, tonight that we would be stirred by way of remembrance. Yes, yes, His word will not return void. It will accomplish. It will prosper. And when you make eye contact with that person, if it is hand to hand, person to person, you can look in their eyes and realize God's going to use it. You say, well, what about those people who want nothing to do with it? What about those people who take it and throw in the trash or want to reject? We were preaching a revival meeting in California in January. Was it January? February of this year. We were out there for about 7 or 8 weeks. And there was a gentleman that came up to me after the service. And he said, you know, I got saved from a track. He said, my co-worker on lunch break, every once in a while would pass me a church brochure, invite me out to church and give me a track. He said, and every time that co-worker did that, I would always make sure I had eye contact with him. And I would rip that track up in front of him and I would throw it in the trash. Time after time after time after time again. But yet that co-worker faithfully, following the Holy Spirit, not every day, but as God would convict and God would lead him, he would pass out that track in love, staying faithful. Little did that co-worker realize that after, you know, that epic moment of when he tore up the track and threw it in the trash, when the co-worker would leave, the lost man, who was telling me this testimony, the lost man would go over to the trash and take out the track and put it in his lunch pail because he was ashamed of what he did. Even though he never showed that openly and publicly with that Christian. Folks, you have no idea. You have no idea what God is going to do with that track. You leave it with someone, and they slam the door in your face. God can use that to convict them. God can use that 10 years from now to say, man, remember what you did to that guy, that sweet pastor, that lady, that young person that was just trying to, you know, stammer through it and trying to be a blessing to you? Remember how rude you were? God can use it to convict. Well, one day, the Holy Spirit finally got through. From one of those ripped tracks, he read it, and he got saved. He got saved. To this day, that co-worker doesn't know. That co-worker doesn't know this gentleman had gotten a job transfer and never saw him again, but God used a track. And know that we would never underestimate the power of a gospel track. Because after all, you ain't doing anything with the saving. You're just simply the middleman. If I may, the mailman. You're just simply the messenger. You're the monkey in the middle, in all reality. Because it's the Holy Spirit of God that convicts. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ who died and made way the gift of eternal life and salvation. And it's the Word of God that illuminates. And we're just the one kind of involved, and praise God, we get to be a part. This leads us to our second point. We're thinking tonight, being stirred up by way of remembrance, that God would fire us up and renew, refresh, reignite in our heart. Things that we know, but things that we really need to know. Oh man, tonight, that as we go forth, that it will prosper and it will accomplish what God would have it to do for His glory. Even though we may never see and we may never know, eternity will tell what God did as a result of your faithfulness. Keep on keeping on. Be faithful. Man, don't become lazy and lax on the job of soul winning, but get after it. Hey, man, keep doing what God would have you to do. And if this could tonight bring us to our second point in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Most of you have it memorized. We don't even need to turn there, but let's just turn there for emphasis' sake tonight. 1 Corinthians 15:58. A revival of remembrance tonight. His word will not return void. Number two, our work will not be in vain. His word will not return void. Number two, our work will not be in vain. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, or seeking to do more today than you did last year. And maybe we're not able to physically do what we used to be able to do, but understand this, that God doesn't put anybody on the shelf. God's not through with you until you go to heaven. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. The best is yet to come. Amen. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. But before I get there, while I'm still drawing breath, God is not through with me yet. God doesn't put anybody on the shelf. We put ourselves on the shelf as a result of maybe our sin or maybe our slothfulness. Even our secular influences that we allow into our heart and life that will quench the fire of God that should be burning bright in our hearts. Amen. And oh, tonight, that we would understand that God wants us to be a Christian, that He can use someone who's going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. As Jesus, man, as He encouraged and as He pleaded in Luke 19:13, He said these four simple words, occupy till I come, or stand your ground, stay your course, stay after it, don't quit, don't throw in the towel, keep on keeping on. And oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's not time for us to give up. It's not time for us to give in or to give out, you know, throwing our hands up in the air saying, all is lost, there's nothing we can do, when rather it's time for us to give it, to give it, to give it all we've got for God and country, to go forth understanding, as the Bible says, for as much as you know. Do we have just a head knowledge?
that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. God is not seeking to occupy your life with busy work. Have you ever done that with your own kids? Go do that, you know. That way they stay out of your hair and you can actually get something done. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand in the air unashamedly. Okay, that's not God. He says, I have chosen you and I have ordained you. Or I've handpicked you. He's looking in the crowd and the host of his children and he says, yes, yes, you. Come on. Yes, yes, yes. Come, come, come. I have something specific, something spectacular, something significant for your life. Yes, ma'am. Yes, you. Come on. Come on, child. That's what God is doing. God has a purpose for our life and this work that we can be involved in, this calling that he has for us and being engaged in the ministry and being full-time Christians, being servants and being soul winners, people who are going to be faithful stewards, protecting and preserving the things that God, he entrusts unto us, like our children and this church and so many other things that we could get distracted with tonight in seeking to preach and to present unto you. But understand this truth, that God has given you his promise that our labor, it's not in vain, or it's not empty or pointless or good for nothing or a waste of time. But it matters. It's going to make a difference. You know, I love it, this verse. The Bible says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why did God use the word work and then the word labor? Has anybody ever thought of that before? Does anybody know the answer to that? Was God like, you know, writing it and then, oh, I can't use the word work twice in the same sentence because that's weird. I need to right-click this and get a synonym. Was that what God was doing? I'm very guilty of that. The word labor has a specific definition. It means to work, yes, but to the point of exhaustion. Now, maybe you feel like that right now because of a long week of Our Time Youth Conference. I don't know, vacation Bible school, right? Some special meeting in the church, camp. I mean, there's just so many things. Just even just a Sunday period with nothing special going on. You've got bus ministry and church and cleaning and all this stuff, that all these ministries, this work of the Lord. Sometimes we come to the end of ourselves physically and mentally and emotionally. We wonder, is it really worth it?
Yes.
Turn your Bibles, if you would, with me, to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter number 3, and we're winding this up here, and this passage is going to act as a segue to our final point tonight. Are you with me? Would you say amen? Do you realize, and I mentioned this to the young people in the Our Time Youth Conference, it was kind of random for me to have thrown in there, but Jesus says that as we serve him, of course, as we serve him, we're not doing it to be a man pleaser or to catch the eye of someone else. We're not doing it for the admiration or the applause of men, but we're doing it doing the will of God from the heart. Whatsoever the hand findeth to do, doing with all of our might. Understanding that God has given us this responsibility, that even though it was delegated to us through authority, that God has ordained authority, and ultimately this task, or whatever aspect it might be in service and in ministry, which, by the way, being a servant is the greatest thing you could possibly ever be in your life. That came from Jesus himself. But as we are doing this, that ultimately this task came from God, came from the Lord. He's entrusting you with this. And Jesus said, if I could just reference this verse, he says, I believe in the book of John, he says, you know, and a couple times actually in scripture, he says, you know, if you actually give just someone a cup of water in my name, you know, this guy's thirsty, this kid's thirsty, this person is needing something to drink, and you just simply, not with any intentions, no ulterior motive, you know, but rather you just did it because you wanted to be a blessing, amen? You just wanted to be like Christ and be a help to someone else. I mean, the Bible says if you do that, and Jesus says if you do that, just simply give someone a glass of water. He says, verily, thou shalt not lose thy reward. What's that meaning? It means, well, you better mark it down. God noticed and God's keeping track, and you will receive a specific reward, a treasure, as a result of a literal, tangible treasure as a result of doing that for Jesus Christ. Now, we're starting to, and we're kind of on the borderline of going into the deep end and really rabbit trailing. And everybody's saying, no, please, don't go that way. And you all are pulling on me to not go into the deep end, right? I won't. Just let me lean a little bit. Are you ready? The Bible says that one day, everything we've done for Christ and everything we've done in life, according to the will of God, as we've labored, as we've served, we will specifically, of course, some of us, and at times there's different things which we receive crowns. But more than that, and I'm not focusing on that tonight, but rather the Bible says that we will lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, literal treasure. Not just some, you know, some picture or some representation or some feel-good philosophy or just the illustration, if you will, metaphor, if you will, or typification of, well, you know, it's going to be kind of like a gold or like a silver, or like a precious stone. It's valuable to me. No, God says literal gold, literal silver, literal precious stone. I believe everything we do for Christ, that we're able to lay up treasures in heaven and that one day we will be able to enjoy those things for all of eternity. And as I mentioned to the young people in the Our Time Youth Conference, we might be here upon this earth for 80, 90 years and then go to heaven, but one day we will be in the presence of God forever. How long is forever? Well, there's no end. 100 billion years, and that's just a scratch on the surface. 100 trillion years. I would rather have lots of money over there and lots of treasure, lots of wealth over there where I can invest and enjoy and spend over there rather than trying to gimme, mine, accumulate greed, materialism, covetousness, trying to hoard and hoard up as much as I can and then losing it all someday and then being a pauper over there. That may sound like it's weird preaching, but I believe it's biblical. You know, you will have a mansion. Praise God. You'll have a home paid for. But what are you investing into the bank of heaven? Have you ever thought of that? In Malachi chapter number 3, notice now, are you still with me? Would you say amen? Malachi chapter number 3, if I could quickly turn there. The Bible says in verse number 13, God is telling this generation, he says, your words have been stout. Your words have been strongly obstinate and rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, when have we spoken so much against thee? I mean, can't you sense the rebellion? What are you talking about, God? You're saying my words are stout. What do you mean? The Bible says, ye have said it is vain to serve God. It's pointless, it's useless to serve God. Now, we just saw the opposite, didn't we? Our work is not in vain, our labor is not in vain. And they continue on. They said, and what profit or what gain is it that we have kept his ordinance? Or where is the prosperity? Where is the good success that you promised in Joshua 1:8? I mean, what gain is it to keep your ordinance, to follow your word? They had this warped, rebellious view. They said, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. They had this twisted view about repentance, you know. I always got to stay right with God, you know. The Bible says in verse number 15, and notice this is very sad. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Or look at Hollywood, look at all the stuff that they have, and it seems like they're taken care of, and I'm just simply struggling to make ends meet. God, look at me. I'm your child, and I seem to be struggling here. They said, and they continue on, yea, they that tempt God, like the atheists who challenge you to strike them dead in the crowds that fill the arenas. Look at them, they that tempt God are even delivered. Notice verse number 16, I love this. Then they that feared the Lord, or they that reverenced and respected God, man, they had a love for God, man, and enthusiasm for the things of God. They spake often one to another. They encouraged themselves, amen. They provoked one another to good works. They were being a generation of testimony where iron was sharpening iron, and they were encouraging each other to stay faithful. The Bible says, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. People who were walking with God, they had a biblical worldview. They were seeking to follow God in their life and serve God with their life. The Bible alludes to it here in this generation, and I believe that it's something that God is trying to teach us here, that he is recording, that he is writing down, that he's keeping track of everything you do for him. He's not going to forget that time that you were doing something and no one else knew about it, and you didn't even want to tell the pastor because you just wanted to be a blessing. And this and that and the ins and outs of the ministry and serving, whether it's God or other people, and all the multifaceted aspects that we could talk about here tonight, I believe that God is keeping track, and God that he remembers, and God that he knows, and God is going to reward you as a result of your faithful service for him. Understand it tonight. Twofold thinking here, if we may. Our work is not in vain. Everything we do for Jesus Christ, it is going to impact eternity. It's not busy work to make us feel good, to give us some emotional or spiritual high, like, oh yeah, you know, but then in the end, it really didn't matter to anything. But no, it is going to make a mark on this generation. It is going to leave ripples through the generations to come. Don't you doubt that. Amen. Let your heart be stirred up by way of remembrance tonight. Have more of a head, more than a head knowledge. Have a heart knowledge and be completely convinced. And man, be eager to roll up your sleeves and to get involved in whatever thing that God would have you to do in this church. If I may say this, and it's 6:55, we're going right to the end before we have to get done here, all right? The Bible says, whatsoever the hand findeth. Last month is the first time I ever saw this in my life. Always just quoted, whatsoever the hand findeth, do it with all thy might. Focusing on the second part of the verse, do it with all thy might. Whatsoever the hand findeth. Are you proactive in seeking to serve? Are you dependable? Or does it have to be, we need somebody to do this or somebody to do that? Where's the person who will say, hey, pastor, what can I do? Or someone who's going to, I can clean this bathroom without even being asked. Amen? I can do this. I can run a van. There's so many things that I wish we could share tonight, but we're going to keep on going. Point number three is this. Are you still with me? Would you say amen? Point number three, a nervous amen, but thank you for so much for saying it. Point number three, just joking. Point number three is this. The world will not get the victory. The world will not get the victory. His word will not return void. Our work will not be in vain. This old world that thinks it's got everything, it doesn't win in the end. Amen? Rather, we are the overcomers. We are the victors. We are the conquerors. If I may quickly just fire rapid fire here tonight, some verses. Jesus says in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. It's not going to be easy, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I love what the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 4. What an encouraging truth it is tonight to understand it, to realize it, to claim it, where the Bible tells us very, very, very point blank, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In the book of Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 31, we find that question being asked, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. We're not just coming out the other side being the winner. We're more than conquerors. Those of you who know what I'm talking about with these game apps, and you level up your characters, and it's like they're really maxed out. And then you go back to an early level where it's like super easy. You find that you can just blow through that with almost like one move. And everybody like from 40 years old and up, I just lost you. What I'm saying is this. You come out almost unscathed. More than conquerors. And that's like a piece of cake. More than conquerors through him that loved us. Ladies and gentlemen, everything in this world is going to pass away. Fret not thyself because of the evildoer. Amen. But you keep on staying faithful. You keep on going for Jesus Christ. Listen, we've read the end of the book and we know what happens. And even though they have their hour, the hour, the power of darkness, one day the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is going to send the tribulation. We're going to see the greatest revival happen during that time where there are going to be hundreds of millions, I believe, of people that are going to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And man, it's going to be amazing to see those who trust in Christ, those who believe in the Savior. Of course, the tragedies and the persecution and the perils and all that's going to take place. But then the Lord is coming back for 1,000 years. And guess what? Who's saved tonight? Raise your hand. Well, I'm going to see you in that millennial kingdom. That's going to be fired up awesome. And I'm going to be there for 1,000 years. And man, I tell you what, you talk about the most conservative government, not just in America, but on the face of the earth, the entire globe, amen, is going to be underneath a theocracy. And we're going to there be able to get plugged in. I'm real. I'm alive. Give me a high five. And think about that. We're going to be able to do that someday in the millennial kingdom. And that's just the beginning of it all. This old world ain't going to get the victory. We're on the winning side. Don't let this old world discourage you and back you into a corner. You press on. Amen. You don't quit. You don't throw in the towel. Keep on serving Jesus. Amen. Lord, bless this time. I pray tonight that you would please help us to be stirred by way of remembrance. Lord, these are truths that we have heard preached time and again. Lord, I pray tonight as we conclude this Sunday evening service that you would help us to have not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. Lord, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that your word will not return void. Every single time we pass out a track, as foolish as it may be, and even though it doesn't make any human sense, well, that didn't really seem to go over well. God, we have your word. We know that you don't lie. Then why do we get discouraged and depressed about soul winning? God, after all, it's all about you. I'm just simply I being in the way the Lord led me. And Lord, it's not about us with this and that and the other, but God, help us just to stay faithful, knowing that you have promised that it will accomplish, it will prosper. God, thank you for that. That is such an encouragement. But that our work is not in vain. It's not pointless or good for nothing. You are writing in a book of remembrance. You're keeping track of everything we do for thee out of the right heart, according to your will. And Lord, that this old world doesn't get the victory, we're on the winning side. God, this will help us to rise up every day and to press on and keep on keeping on to stay faithful.